Ladies and gentlemen,
can he touch you at all?
It's great to be here. It is Barely Touched Him coming at you after another week of the football. And dear listener, we come to your airwaves now at a tumultuous time for football, we might say. The woke mob have descended upon the game we love and cherish thanks to these sensitive bloody snowflakes and their concussion protocols, if that is their real name. We're now losing the very essence of our sport. That essence, Corey, is violence.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it just?
It is. It is. And, you know, they talk about these concussions. I've been hit in the head hundreds of times.
We're fine.
I've never been concussed.
I've been hit in the head millions of times. A good head knock, it's good for the soul. You get up in – I get up in the morning. I reckon I'd go about my day in a much better cognitive capacity if Peter Wright hit me in the head at 7:30 a.m. at full ball and they're trying to cancel it.
Well, it makes you wonder. If they're taking this out of the game, what else are they going to take? Are they going to make handballs illegal?
Yeah. Can we kick the ball anymore? Can we kick the ball? Can I run? Am I allowed to put one foot in front of the other? What's it going to be?
It's madness.
This is somehow Dan Andrews' fault.
I've sensed that also.
It's got his commie fingerprints all over it. Ladies and gentlemen, what a week in football. It's hot off of the presses. Peter Wright, we're going to open the football news. 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Four big, long weeks. And... I don't know if you saw it, but they didn't even try to defend it at all.
Yeah, well, I do not watch the tribunal. No. I just get tweets from it.
I was looking at some of the quotes that the lawyer said. It's unbelievable. I don't know who they hired.
What do you say?
He was making it seem worse than it was. I mean, he's trying to defend him. He's like, look, he was trying to get out of it, but he did. I mean, he did hit him, which he wasn't meaning to do, but he did do it.
Well, I was in such two minds about this because I don't think he should have been suspended. Shock and horror.
No, I don't think so.
I agree with Wayne Carey, and I hate myself for it. It's terrible. Yeah. As we know, we'll get into Wayne Carey's take on the whole situation because that made the news as well. But when I was watching this, and we were popping off in the group chat, obviously it's a hot button issue.
Yep.
When I saw the hit, I'm thinking, he's kind of got a case on his hands here. Like if Cunningham doesn't come in from a 90-degree angle, it's a chest mark to Peter Wright.
Correct. And also if Peter Wright doesn't brace, then Peter Wright gets injured.
Yeah, well, yes. That's less certain. He might not have gotten injured because he's a big boy.
Yeah, but so when I first saw it, because it obviously happened so fast, I wasn't really paying attention to what happened. I saw it and thought, oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the replay started, I was like, oh, he's fine. Well, he's 100% fine.
It's such a catch-22 situation because if he kind of pulls out of that, he almost can't. Like when you're moving for the ball, and he's got a right to do that, if the ball's dropping, especially in the corridor when you've got more chance – you've just turned my headphones down.
Sorry.
There you go. When you've got more chance of a 360-degree collision when there's a lot of bodies in the midfield, you know, there's – you're never going to completely mitigate that risk or eliminate the hazard.
And it can't be understated that he is coming on a 90-degree angle.
Yep.
So he's not appearing in Peter Wright's vision until the very last second.
Yep.
It's not as if they're running at each other and he can kind of look up and down.
And it's not a ground ball either.
No.
Like he has to look at the ball, the trajectory of the ball in the air.
Both of them are like this, just looking up.
Yeah. And it's like I understand we've got to eliminate concussions from – well, not eliminate. We've got to, you know
– Mitigate
the risk of concussions in the game, but you're never going to stop accidents. And this seemed like an accident to me.
Did.
He didn't elect to bump. He didn't line a bloke up like, you know, Webster. He didn't say, I'm going to shit mix this guy. It's just very unfortunate.
No, I understand I kind of understand that they need/want to do something – but I think 4 weeks for Peter Wright here is very stiff.
And it sucks that I agree with the old fossils that hate any sort of progress.
Well, like, we've got Wayne Carey here. It quotes,
yeah, speak of the devil.
I'm done. Wayne Carey calls AFL, quote, weak as piss. I'll never watch footy again.
You tell him, Wayne. You fucking tell him.
So this has been sent to the tribunal, has it? Weak as piss, straight away to the AFL, Kerry said.
It's like he's in the room. It's such a good Wayne Carey impression.
Whoever determined that goes straight to the tribunal, that is just crap and wrong. There you go.
Well, I saw this clip pop up, and I got to say, it's always quite jarring to see a video clip of what Wayne Carey looks like.
Yes, because he looks like Madonna.
He looks like a maths contestant. He's had so much Botox. He's had so much work done.
This is my favourite.
But his face is just hard leather.
It's bad. I'm prepared to say if Peter Wright gets suspended for whatever weeks he gets, I will not watch a game of AFL footy. I'm done. I'm jumping ship.
He's gone. This is what you've done, Andrew Dillon. You've lost one of the great... You've lost the king. You've lost the king. He's never tuning in again. The duck's gone.
The duck's flat both wings. He's out of the pond.
He's flat both wings. He's out of the pond. He's taken the ducklings with him. The ecosystem's ruined. You don't have your ducks there anymore. And didn't he admit it? Didn't he renege this comment towards the end of the podcast?
He said it again. He reiterated a couple of times, and then later on he said, "I will not watch footy. If he gets weeks, I'm not going to watch it for as long as he's out."
Oh, so 4 weeks.
So 4 weeks.
You've lost the duck for a month. That's a long time to not have the duck
there. AFL probably took that into consideration.
Yes.
They've probably gone, look, this is a week or two, but we could get rid of Wayne.
We could get rid of Wayne for good.
Get rid of Wayne. They've called up Peter and said, "Peter, listen.
We think you got a case on your hands.
We know it was an accident, but we're going to seem like we're being a bit tough here, but you've got to take one for the team. We've got to get this fuckhead away from us."
Oh, you didn't say it was Wayne Carey. This is me being Peter here. Oh, put me out for 12.
I'll take six.
Oh, boy. Another bit of hot sports news, footy news that's just come up, and I wasn't aware of this until I walked in the door.
This is extremely
hot
off the press.
And you've given me the scoop here. This is huge, Corey.
Very hot off the
press. Walk us through it.
Now, this is obviously going to be ongoing and developing, but there's been a massive scandal that's been brought all the way to the lower house of Parliament. Federal MP Andrew Wilkie.
Federal National Parliament, yes. Like not state parliament.
He's urged the Prime Minister on this.
Oh, my God.
Federal MP.
Sidebar,
yeah.
Big fan of Andrew Wilkie.
Yeah,
I rate Andrew Wilkie.
Quite often, if you're a dear listener and not familiar with different parliamentarians, Andrew Wilkie quite often is breaking whistleblower type stories, I believe.
Very anti-gambling lobby.
Yeah, I believe he was.
And he's an independent.
He was the MP that was standing behind Andrew McBride lately, the guy who spoke out against the SAS and them killing civilians.
War crimes, etc.
Yeah, literally war crimes.
Yeah.
But this is the story here. I'll read the first little bit
and then we can paraphrase
the rest.
Yes.
A Melbourne Football Club doctor has sensationally admitted to conducting off-the-books illicit drug tests allegedly authorised by the AFL to help players evade detection on match days. The doctor-turned whistleblower says players who confessed to having taken drugs in the days before games were given secret tests to ensure their systems were clear or were advised to fake an injury so they would not risk being tested and suspended for breaches of World Anti-Doping Agency code.
Now, this is huge. This is actually quite large. This is not just a bit of, like, you know, with drug stories in footy, sometimes it can get a bit paparazzi-y. It can get a bit text message journalist-y. This seems like an actual systemic issue.
Yeah.
If you've got a former club doctor coming out and saying...
He was the Melbourne doctor for a decade and he was kicked out of the club after raising culture concerns. He then filed an
unfair dismissal
claim, which was settled, meaning that they paid him off to say,
please don't take us to court over this. We will get convicted.
And they've brought some receipts here. The allegations include the prevalence of drug abuse and other prohibited behaviour across the AFL, off-the-books drug testing of players at Dorovich Pathology in Heidelberg. So there's a specific clinic that they're talking about here. So they've got to have some sort of receipts to be firing themselves.
At that point, it is not just a few bad actors, you know, doing it. Like, where it's, there's this one guy pops positive every now and again. We have the three strikes rule, et cetera.
This is perhaps the biggest thing. This was all facilitated by the former chief medical officer of the AFL, Peter Harcourt. The resting of players testing positive in these secret tests, ostensibly on account of injury, willful inaction by AFL chairman Richard Goyder and former CEO Gil McLaughlin.
Wow.
That is all the way to the top.
And credit to the journo who broke this. It's Warner, isn't
it?
He wrote The Boys Club, didn't he?
I
think about 30% of the way through that book, but my Kindle broke. I've got to find a new way to read it, but would recommend. It's very juicy stuff. But this is going to be ongoing for the whole year.
Yes, and it's interesting that it's been broken, hasn't been broken before this. They've decided to break it on the floor of Parliament, that being with parliamentary privilege. So now it can be quoted by anybody without fear of legal recourse.
Well, that's a lot of the safeguards or the boys club mentality that the AFL's been able to get away with for so long is that it's all kept in-house and no one is ever going to go on record or under oath in court about any sort of these wrongdoings or alleged wrongdoings with AFL clubs, with club doctors, with administrative figures. You'll never get them under oath. They'll always settle out of court and the boys look after the other boys. And now for this to be in Parliament, it's sort of breached that.
Yeah,
it's now 100%. Busted wide open.
This is the last quote I'll do from this little piece, but it's pretty hectic. Mr. Wilkie said the allegations were deeply troubling and called on Prime Minister Anthony Albanese to review the signed statements. He then said, "It is not an exaggeration to say off the books testing scheme I've described sees the AFL effectively involved in a multi-hundred-million-dollar fraud on government and taxpayers."
Yeah, that is fraud. That 100%. Is fraud. Like, you know, it's we forget that this is like international laws. Like, you know, the AFL, when the Essendon supplement saga happened, was trying to sort of remove itself from international doping codes because they didn't want to be subject to these rules. And this is another case of the AFL just wanting to be off the books, like doing their own thing. And it's there's consequences for that if you get caught. There's huge consequences.
This is obviously going to be a massive, massive story, I think, that's going to develop over probably the whole season. Yeah. I don't think it's going to come to its reasonable end anytime soon. So we'll follow along.
Are we going to get, like, retroactive suspensions, you know, or anything like that?
It depends how many receipts they have here.
That's a lot. In other news, this is less, pressing actual football world news, but it is football news to me and to Corey. We're playing each other in fantasy this week.
We are. And you did quite bad this week. And I did a lot better than I expected.
I've had a very poor opening to the season.
Yes.
In everything. I'm in two draft leagues, one with our league, which I take up very seriously, and another with Nadia and her friends, that they've, like, the boyfriends and the girlfriends have sort of started a league. And I've been helping Nadia with her team, and I, helping her do her draft and saying this is how you do fantasy.
So you're fucking her one up as well.
Yeah. Well, I had to, in order to, because I'm trying to impress her with all my fantasy knowledge.
I can just imagine her looking at you 2 weeks in and thinking, do you know
what you're doing? It's gone down like the Hindenburg. I've tried to teach her how to loophole as well the other day, and I went, Nadia.
Oh God.
I went, Nadia, this is a dirty thing that people do. if there's this special thing that not anyone's going to know about, because these are all first-time players in the league. And I'm like, Nadia, if you chuck the vice captain on Jackie Sinclair on Thursday night, but then your captain doesn't play, she's like, no, that seems like cheating. I'm like, it is, Nadia.
If it was cheating, would it be allowed?
Technically, Mr. Speaker, I was in the but I lost, and
I love it.
It's a cellar-dwelling clash this week between us,
well,
isn't it?
Well, you say cellar-dwelling, but everyone's been making fun of me for my team being so bad, but I'm like smack bang in the middle of the league, in the top half of the league, really, when you look at my scores. I don't have a bad team. I have a couple of underperforming players that if I can get the average score up just a tiny bit, I'm in the top three.
I've got about 12 underperforming players in my team. They're all Bont needs to lift his game.
Yep.
Dusty Martin needs to fucking lift his game. And I'm not impressed. Anyway, have you got any other footy news? Because I've got perhaps a couple more.
Well, I mean, it was Travis Boak's 350th, and it was perhaps the most underwhelming milestone week I've ever seen in football.
Yeah.
There was next to no fanfare. I mean, more people were talking about Nick Dacos' 50th.
They were.
Than Travis Boak's 350th, which is a shame.
Because he's a legend of the club. He's the game's record holder. Yeah. He's been a stalwart from all accounts, like a ripper guy.
I was got secondhand embarrassment for Cal Twomey for publishing an article ranking every single one of Nick Daicos's 50 games, which was just
cringe. It's so, and I like Cal. I like Cal Twomey, but God. Yeah, he's he can be a bit of a Vic bubble bias.
But while
sort
we're
of
on
guy.
While we're on the media, the West pumped out some had their usual crap last week with a back page for the ages with the headline wanting to turn back time.
Okay, so let me paint you a visual picture,
it's
dear
disgusting.
Listener. It's Adam Simpson. They photoshopped Adam Simpson to be a drag queen dressed like Cher, but very poorly. So he's got Cher's hair, and like you know, I think they might have given him some clothes. And it's about Gaff being dropped.
Yep.
So like Andrew Gaff didn't have a great game in round one and, you know, he's been dropped because of it. It happens. He's like 32. And they have now gone, I wish if I could turn back time with Adam Simpson in drag as if that's like a good bit to be doing. And then I wish I could turn back time to Andrew Gaff being good. One of their worst back pages that they've done in the last 6 months. And that is saying something because they've been scraping the bottom of the barrel for weeks now. Weeks. They also did another one where it was the traitors. Weekend, and it was
GWS clap back to that.
All of the GWS players who are from WA, and they've just flat out. I get that it's a joke, but still, it's just bad content.
Yeah,
it's very bad content.
Well, with back to Travis Boak, with Boak reaching 350, that creates the perfect amount of all-time players to have an all-star team, a 350 all-star team.
I did see this.
He is now the sub. There's a full team and a sub.
Again, the disrespect. Yeah, so, but let's go through this team. Read me the team.
Before I do, I'll posit a question to you.
Yes.
Next week, or this week rather, Tom Hawkins hits 350.
Oh.
So Tom Hawkins has to replace somebody
in this forward line in this
team. Oh, okay. So I'll let you decide.
Come on, all right, I'll make the call.
We'll start in the back line because Hawkins is a forward.
Yes.
So he's obviously going to replace someone forward. So we'll start in the back. We got Sean Burgoyne, Dustin Fletcher, John Blakey.
Oh, Blakey, yes.
Bruce Steele, Paul Ruse, Scott Pendlebury.
Oh.
Doug Hawkins, Rob Harvey, Craig Bradley.
Yep.
Brad Johnson, Matthew Pavlich, Brent Harvey.
Oh.
Followers, Simon Madden, Joel Selwood, Gary Ablett Jr. And the forward line, Kevin Bartlett, Lance Franklin and Eddie Betts.
Oh, my God. So who's the half forwards? So
Brad Johnson, Pav and Brent Harvey.
I would take Hawkins over Brad Johnson.
I would
even though one's a tall, one's a small.
Yep.
Love Jono. I really rate him as a player.
You do have the option of putting him on the interchange bench.
Yep.
Michael Tuck, David Mundy, Adam Goods and Bernie Quinlan.
I can't take any of them off the bench.
Yeah, no.
Bernie Quinlan.
Bernie Quinlan.
Dude, super boot. Super boot. Oh my God. If you're a bit younger, dear listener, and you haven't seen Bernie Quinlan,
he's fucking great.
Look up Fitzroy Bernie Quinlan highlights.
His bio photo here, he looks about 60, but he's obviously in his 30s in the photo.
Well, I truly believe there exists a parallel timeline where Fitzroy don't go under and they win a flag in the early 80s, like instead of just getting to those prelims that they got to. I think they lost to Richmond in 83 and they got very close. But Bernie Quinlan was like, he should be so much more well-known than he is. Anyway, should we get into the results? Or have we got another footy news item here?
Oh, the Frio Guernsey for Gather Round.
Oh, the black one, yes.
Yeah, they've called it the stealth jumper.
I like it.
I think it's okay. I just think for the purpose of playing football on television, it's going to look terrible from a distance.
I disagree. I like just a straight black kit with a few trimmings. I'm a big fan of it.
We'll see how we go.
I'm a big fan.
I should have mentioned this off the back of the bombshell saga, but two Sydney AFLW players
have been busted for drugs.
It turns out they got arrested late last year, and it's now only become public, and they've both been suspended.
So
they're the ladies, and to me, I take this as a positive. It means the AFLW players are finally getting equal pay enough that they can afford to get on the bags.
Well, it's not cheap to get on the bags, you know.
No, like, so they're obviously getting paid a bit.
In this economy, if you're gonna get a bag on a Friday night, you'd be getting close to six figures. You would think.
An interesting one with May being injured as well, Stephen May. That is, he cracked three ribs in the game.
Oh.
He's been to see the doctor. And he's told the doctor to fuck off and he's playing this week.
He's not playing this week. I traded him out of my fantasy team. But that's because he got fucking 20.
The doctor's told him he's got 3 cracked ribs. He said, yep, thanks, and left.
Dude, he is a beast. He is an absolute beast of a man.
He's on the selection table.
Oh, that is hilarious. With all of the culture stuff that Melbourne are now going to be dealing with on top of the drug stuff, you can't play Stephen May with 3 cracked ribs. Simon Goodwin, I'm begging you, don't select him for his own good, for his own good. Let's get into the football results.
Well, it was a tale of two birds this week, wasn't it?
It was a tale of two birds.
The Swans on 3-0 and the Pies on 0-3.
Well, we'll start off with, of course, the Thursday night game. St Kilda beating the Pies 94-79. And I thought it was quite an entertaining game, even though St Kilda did run away with it towards the end.
It was a very entertaining game, save for the end.
Yes. Well, there was a period in, I want to say, late second quarter, it may have been early third quarter, where there was no stoppages, no one took a mark, and it was literally like 6 minutes of end-to-end chaos football. Yeah. Everyone on the ground is just sprinting to get to every contest. I think everyone got a touch, and it ended up with Reece McGuinness kicking a goal on the other end of the ground.
We're seeing more of that in a lot of the games.
The crowd, when I didn't care who kicked the goal at that point, whether it was Saints or Pies.
It's exhausting to watch.
The crowd just exploded with this huge release of tension and energy. It was awesome. It was one of the best passages of play I've seen. I've got to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah.
Because it was as good as modern football gets.
We'll get into the negatives for our beloved Pies, but I mean, there was some positives. Young Monica Lewinsky, I thought was fantastic.
I feel like I have to explain this nickname every time because only now I like that you've started to call him Monica as well. I have come into this, this is a question for the listeners, and I'll put it to the questions this week. Is there a nickname that you give a footballer that no one else uses? Because for me, it's Patrick Lipinski. I call him Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah,
because
which I love.
Monica Lewinsky. Monica Lewinsky, if you're a young listener and you have sex with
that woman.
Bill Clinton, former US president, had an affair with a young intern named Monica Lewinsky. It rhymes with Lipinski.
Not just an affair, he famously got sucked off under the table in the Oval Office.
And didn't climax. That's one of the things that he's put. You can read it in the Wikipedia article. That's one of the things he said as a defense. It's like, yes.
It doesn't count.
She sucked me off, but I didn't climax.
You know, so he's got a point.
But in some ways, that's worse. Like, that is worse. If you're not getting all the way there, come on. Like, what kind of psycho are you, Bill? But I digress. Monica Lipinski had a very good game.
Yeah, if you do have a name that you have got a given to a player.
Let us know your niche nickname for a footballer. Chuck us in the mailbag. Barely touched him on Instagram. Slide into our DMs. One thing I thought with this game, and we touched on David King's criticisms of what's going wrong with the Pies last week, being that meter, where every handball is a meter off, every chase is a meter off,
I was watching First Crack this week and I was eagerly awaiting what David King would say about Collingwood. Didn't say anything.
He just moved on right over. I noticed in this game when we're not winning, when Collingwood are not winning these contested ball and these 50-50 contests, which we weren't. St Kilda smashed us in contested ball, I thought, all night. They seemed to want the footy more. It has a chain reaction on the slower players at Collingwood. So guys like Tom Mitchell, guys like Steel Sidebottom, Scott Pendlebury, to a lesser extent like Brody Majacek, have less time with the ball and they have less time to hit that disposal and it all falls apart. It all starts to fall apart.
Contested possessions, 142 apiece.
But it didn't feel like that. It really didn't feel like that.
Uncontested, 247-202. There's a couple of stats here that I was particularly interested in. Hitouts, 13-47. Collingwood's way.
Cameron Cox did a really good job of winning that hit out in the ruck.
Yeah. There was another one. Where was it? We got absolutely demolished. We took contested marks, 15-8, which I thought was interesting. Given that the Saints were a little bit harder, I would have thought that they had more contested marks. But yeah, there was some players
they just
look
really good,
there.
St Kilda. They look, yeah, they I love their young core. I thought BOGs for them, like we might get a bit more into it in votes, but Liam Henry, amazingly impressive.
Yeah. Wanganeen Millera.
Wanganeen Millera, obviously. Marcus Windhager looks like a ready-made footballer.
What do we do with Jordan Dugowie? That's three games that he's been not influential.
Keep throwing him in the midfield and tell him to pull his finger out. Yeah. You know, it's your job to be first to the footy. And
like you were saying, the Saints are massively, massively improved and entertaining to watch. And it's interesting because, you know, we like to make fun of Ross for not only just being Ross, but his coaching being a bit stagnant and stale. But clearly he's running a different game.
No, he's figured it out that you need to transition the ball with speed.
Yep.
And when you've got guys like Wanganeen Millera and Liam Henry.
Yeah. Even Higgins was putting the Jets on.
Higgins was putting the Jets on. Guys like Machito Owens has got pace wherever you put him on the ground. They've got the ability to move the ball quickly, to score a winning score and to defend. And also another little, I hate to make it too pie-centric. In the first half, Billy Frampton masterclass on Max King.
At quarter time, he had the most disposals.
He was the best player on the ground for a half. He didn't keep it up. No, but that's more indicative of the whole team. Honestly, Billy, you're a gun.
Like, he's a gun.
He's got to be picked again this week.
All Australian blazer for young Billy Frampton.
Absolutely, yes. Young Billy Frampton. He's just a boy. Next up, we've got the Adelaide Crows losing at home to the Geelong Pussycats, 77-96.
The
Crom hurt us.
The Crom here looked, honestly to me, they looked like the worst team of the round. They looked shocking.
And it's not.
And the score doesn't show that because they kicked 77.
It's not due to a lack of effort or skill from the players. It's to coaching to me.
Yeah, like 100%. It's
the way that Geelong were able to so easily defensively set up the ground and force Adelaide into turning the ball over and just kicking it to Tom Stewart.
It was just unforced error after unforced error after unforced error. It was bizarre to watch.
100%.
Very not entertaining to watch. Like, as I said, even some of these lower scoring games like the Eagles, and I think someone got in the 30s, did they not? Hawks. Even that game was more entertaining to watch than this Crows.
Yeah, it's what I thought was the most impressive, or impressive for Cats, really least impressive for Adelaide, was so much of AFL coaching is not explained to the viewer, but I forget who the special comments guy was in this one. It was either Jordan Lewis or one of those guys. I should have written this down. Might have been Hodgie. It's about where your plus one is on the ground. It's about where your extra man is.
Yep.
So for the Cats, it was clearly Tom Stewart in defence. They were, and his man, I believe, it's hard to tell on the broadcast. This is where you need the behind the goals vision.
Yep.
But I remember that it was the special comments guy explaining that the Crows' plus one was Pedler up the ground. So Pedler has left his direct opponent in Tom Stewart, saying, we're going to let you have Tom Stewart in your back line. Pedler is going to be our high half forward moving to our back line. And how often did Pedler have the ball streaming down the ground, kicking it inside 50, and he turned it straight to Tom Stewart? Every single fuck. It happened. It happened like six times. And he had men open as well. Like, it wasn't as if he had nowhere to kick to, so he's had to bomb it high. They've just completely created this pocket of space where Tom Stewart's dead in the middle of it. And they've just like, well, it's a high ball. We're just going to block space for Tom. And he equaled the record for intercept marks in a game with 10. He made it look so easy.
Even post-game, Nix's presser was depressing.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, I watched it a few days later. Very depressing. It's just almost like a broken man.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what to say. He's like, we were desperate.
Yeah.
Like, we got to work on something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
And I wish that coaches would be more honest about what went wrong, like, and go into more detail. I know that they don't want to because they don't want to expose what their tactics are to other clubs. You don't want to give other clubs an advantage on what you might be doing with the magnets.
I don't think your Sydney Swans are going to be poaching ideas from the Crom.
No.
Are they?
Like, and to a layman, you could just say, well, be more wary of Tom Stewart. You don't need to be a football maestro to understand that they were kicking it to him too much.
But I did have a highlight from this game.
Yes.
The Streaker.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, he was piss weak. To quote Wayne Carey, Piss weak for a streak. He's fully clothed.
I liked that he got in the contest and he wasn't up the other end of the ground where nothing was happening.
Yeah.
He got right into the ball up and he went straight in there. He, I think it was like Laird or Dawson tried to tackle him. Yeah. He shrugged that tackle off and then he went past Dangerfield.
Yeah, Keys got him.
And that was very good.
The funniest thing was that Keys decked him. Yeah. He's given him the woods. He's hit the floor, and fucking Jeremy Cameron has called dropping the ball, which I thought very funny.
He might be the funniest player in the comp, like Jez Cameron. He's very good. Another few little notes I had from this game. I think Burgess is a really good addition for Adelaide.
Yeah.
When he is on and he looks like a ready-made key forward, he's going to be very good up there. Rankin in the midfield I like, but BOG Tom Stewart for sure. Next up, to keep whizzing through this games, even though you're getting some really champagne tactical analysis from us this week on the pod, I must say. North Melbourne going down to the Fremantle Dockers, 76 to 102.
Great game.
I'll let our resident Fremantle supporter, Corey Corison, tee off here. What did you like? What didn't you like?
Well, obviously, Frio are making a habit of giving themselves a quarter-long handicap.
Yes.
And then
they just got to make it interesting. Yeah. They do.
And there's a
quote. North looked good right out of the gates.
They did.
Best football I've seen and North play in a long time.
I've got to say, of these bottom shit teams, like your West Coast, your Norths, your Hawthorn, North is emerging as the best of the shit ones.
That half of footy, I can't remember the last time I saw North look that dangerous.
Yep.
And yes, it's not for a whole game. No. They're still developing. They're still building.
How's this? This is about Frio's ability to score late, not just in the game, but in every quarter. So they're the red time marvels of the league. Of their 29 goals this season, 16 of them, or 55%, have come after the 20-minute mark of a quarter.
That's the mark of fitness.
Yep.
That is the mark of fitness.
That you're dead right, because that's exactly what this goes on to say. In their eight quarters played, 75% have produced multiple red time goals. And it goes on to say that quote several Frio players and the coach who've said that that was what they were focusing on in the off season was hard fitness.
It is going to get you a net result, and it's such a basic thing. If you've got more legs for that sprint when you're built up with lactic acids and you're fucked at the end of a quarter and your opponent is fucked, if you can get a meter on him, if you can get 2 meters on him because you've put in a more hectic preseason, that will get you points.
This quote sounds like it was written by our messiah, David King, but it's not. Momentum is king in footy, and cashing in when you have it is crucial.
I love how vague it is. Yeah. Oh, I love. Yeah,
and that's what they're doing. Fremantle.
Other team bad.
Fremantle piled on 8 consecutive goals against Brisbane before adding 9 unanswered goals against the Kangaroos. So that's a mark of a great
team.
Yeah,
they look good, the Dockers.
There's some other interesting ones. Jai Amis got his 50th goal in his 27th game. So since 1990, this was a stat that I pulled from First Crack.
Yes.
Since 1999, other players who have got 50 goals or more by their 27th game. Can you have a guess? There's four of them here.
50 goals by their 27th game.
Yep.
I would guess since when? What
since
year?
Since 1999.
1999.
Sorry, there's only three of them.
Buddy Franklin?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Matthew Pavlich?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. Let me think. Key forwards.
I'll give you one more. All three are still playing.
Tom Hawkins?
Nope.
Oh, tell me who.
Jeremy Cameron.
Of course.
Taylor Walker, Tex Walker, and Jesse Hogan.
Oh, the Hogue! And God, isn't he back with a vengeance.
If you cast your mind back, when he did emerge, he was being talked about as a potential GOAT.
He was going to save Melbourne.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
Hogan and Cameron were on 60-odd at the 27th game and Walker 51.
Isn't it funny how Hogan is at GWS now and it's come full circle after Cameron's left there? That's so good.
But that's very interesting because, I mean, those names, if he turns out, I mean, you can make Hogan maybe not as prolific as the other two.
But still
pretty good.
If a
miss is among those in the coming years, then my God. It was a crazy entertaining game.
I liked it. I liked
I really,
this game
really,
a lot.
Really liked
we'll
it
smash
a lot.
Through the next one. Next up, we had the Hawks being absolutely trounced by the D's, 38-93 at the MCG.
They got bodied here, didn't they?
They did. Very difficult for Hawthorn to get through Melbourne's zone, and you could tell by what they were doing in that first quarter, they didn't want to move the ball forward of centre at all. No. So it just became a game of kick to kick. Fans were booing. It was ugly. It was honestly very ugly.
I felt sorry for them.
Yeah, so did I.
And like, I didn't even watch this whole game. I would just watch bits and pieces of it, and I just kept walking past the computer, going,
Honestly, it's like it's a testament to how far we've come, because teams used to do this a lot more often.
Yeah, they did.
Teams used to play kick to kick off the back line a lot more, and now the AFL has tried to disincentivize or discourage that with the rule changes. And it was so weird to see a coach doing it again. Or maybe it wasn't the coach. Maybe the players just decided to do this. But it's hard to think that as a collective, the players gone, no, we're just not going to move the
ball.
But
in the from the stoppages, Melbourne was just
It was men against boys.
They were getting absolutely wrecked.
Clayton Oliver, he was
putting his head down and running straight into people and just knocking them over.
There's never been a more concussions aren't real player than than Clayton Oliver.
He's literally leading with his head.
Has Clayton Oliver ever been concussed? Is he just always concussed and it gives him superpowers because he has no consequences? His frontal lobe is so gone.
I hate to quote a Marvel film because I fucking hate them, but it's the Hulk thing, like, what's your secret?
I'm always concussed.
I'm always concussed. And instead of green, he's just beetroot red.
He's just beetroot red. He's the red Hulk. He's the ginger Hulk. He was a gun, though. My God.
He was.
When Clayton Oliver is on, best player in the league.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I will put him at number one. Yep. Like, he's unstoppable. And it is because, like, you know, there is a level of self-preservation that even the most courageous players have.
Yeah.
Clayton Oliver doesn't have it.
That's the thing. There's definitely more skillful players, but there's no one that is by the books AFL footballer.
Yeah. Maybe Matty Rowell when he's even then, Clayton's got that dog in him. Because he gets more posies than Matt Rowell because of it.
I mean,
it's fucked.
Obviously, Hawthorn's got a lot to do, but what do they do about James Sicily?
Well, you keep playing him.
Yeah.
You got to keep playing him. He's too good not to play.
It was pretty horrendous. And last week was even worse.
Yeah.
It was a very, very poor. And he's the captain.
You got to keep in mind, it's only round two.
It's only round two. But he's the captain.
They're a rebuilding team. You got to give him a bit of leeway. Let's go right on to the next game. Unless you've got one more thing.
One more. There was a very funny bit post-match. I didn't even... I must have missed the actual moment when I was watching the end. It did come in and out of it. But Petrarca was interviewed by Kingy, and they were talking about his defensive 50 effort.
Because he got a big spoil.
He got a huge spoil on the goal line, and they were joking about it. And all of the other players and the coach were making fun of him and holding their fists up because he never does defensive 50 efforts. And he said, I average one a year. And later on in the studio, they looked it up. He literally is... He's got three in the last 3 years.
He's aware of it. He's not you don't need him to do it. I'd be fine if he never did it.
But it was very funny how the whole team and the coach were just making fun of him.
I love that.
I love that.
I love that. It's when Melbourne are on, they are the best team in the comp. And it's so, like, we're going to be talk, unless they somehow win the flag this year, which they could do. Like, they could But when I saw them win the 2021 flag, I went, this is going to be a fucking dynasty. Like, this team is so good.
I thought so as well.
And it's amazing that they haven't been able to replicate it. Who knows? The season is still very young, but they look hard to beat. Next up, we had the Sydney Swans getting up at home over the mighty Essington Bombers. I loved this game.
This was an amazing game.
I thought game of the round for me.
Game of the round.
I absolutely
loved
it.
Definitely game of the round. It was fiery.
Yeah.
Very, very fiery. When did the Peter Wright hit happen?
I want to say second term.
Yeah.
It was quite early. But any chance the boys got, they were going at it.
It was fiery before that, but after the Wright hit, it was on.
It was on
it
for young
was
and old.
On.
And then you had Papley's comments at halftime and at the end of the game.
I have never seen a player go after the opposition coach like that. Yeah. That is unbelievable. If you vamp for a second, I think I have the quote here.
Like one of the things I liked about this game was it is, and you know, I'm very pro Essington this year.
Yes, I
am very pro Essington. This game, even though it was 30 points in the end, I think they can walk away with their head held high. 100%. You're scoring 100 points against Sydney on their home deck.
Yeah.
Not many teams are going to do that this year. So that can be a winning score. They are moving the ball well. Go on, Corey.
For whatever reason, Tom Papley has seen fit to go after Brad Scott post-game.
He's a bit of a rat dog, the Paps, and it's why I love him. Like, I do love him.
Brad, this is a quote. Brad Scott has come out and said it's the Essendon way. You can pretend to be tough, but you still need to win the ball and win the game. It's all a facade, I think.
That is fucking hectic to say. Like, that is such
sorry, who are you? What are you doing?
Papley is like, you'd love to have him on your team. Like,
he's a dog.
He's a rat dog.
He's a dog.
He is Stephen Milne. He is Toby Green. He is all of these. He's everything you want in a dirty junkyard rat dog of a small forward.
He's the dude that you're friends with in high school that everyone knows is a dog, and then you never speak to him again after you're 12.
But you want him in your footy team. you absolutely want him in your footy team. You know damn well when a fight is kicking off, and I've played with players like this, like when a fight is kicking off and you're up the other end of the ground and you know you don't know who's in the pack because you can't see it, it's up the other end, you make an educated guess, and you're like, that's Paps. You know, that's Paps.
He's
in
getting
there.
Into it.
He started something.
One of the funniest things to come out of this game was a name I hadn't seen in a while, embroiled in a little bit of controversy.
Oh, yeah.
Travis Cloke.
This game had everything.
There was a scuffle in the forward pocket.
It was at halftime, I think. It was at halftime.
And out of nowhere, Travis Cloke has appeared. Apparently, he's the Essendon runner. He's ripping the boys off of each other.
The commentators are
pissing themselves. Oh, Cloakie's getting involved.
Well, he actually defused it effectively because you could tell there was some hardcore jumperies about to get thrown and perhaps some more suspensions.
Travis Cloke is a huge man.
He's still got it. He's still jacked.
If you're going at it and all of a sudden Travis Cloke appears, blocks out the sun slightly, you're going to be like, oh,
say no more. Oh,
shit.
Oh, sorry, Trav.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, love your work, Trav.
I think I said to you as it was happening, it would have had more effect if he was doing, he pulled a single glove out.
Yes, put the glove on.
You want to get into it, boys?
You want to fucking go? It's 2010, cut. It's 2010.
Got it.
Huge game. And unfortunately, and this is a bit of a spoiler for my MVP voting, I haven't given any votes to Essington players, much to my chagrin. I wanted to. Hold your heads high, boys. Trust the process. You looked good.
Yeah, they did.
You looked good.
They did.
All right, next up, we got into the next game, and I've got to just... it was the Doggies getting up in Ballarat, the windswept shithole of a ground now, that should be against the Suns.
This was less of a football game and more of a no disqualification wrestling match between Libber and Matt Rao.
Best bit of the game.
Interspersed
bit of the game.
With some football around it.
Waitman did some good things.
He did. Six goals, I believe.
It was classic Ballarat footy. You don't want to watch it, except for Libber v. Rao.
I wanted to believe that it was going to be different. It wasn't.
It wasn't. It never is. I told you all. You laughed. I'm going to quote Nigel Farage. You laughed at me. Well, you're not laughing now, are you? It's Brexit Ballarat. Leave the AFL Union and stop being aground.
Is there any reason why they're obligated to play games?
They've signed a contract, I think. It's got to be contractual.
It's ridiculous.
It's a windswept shithole, attractive
footy. You get the wide shot of the stadium, like, oh, my God, there's no one there.
And it's like, so if you're the Suns, I'm like... You're 2-1. Don't worry about this loss. It's why I tipped the Doggies. I'm like, I don't know how they're going to do it.
They were threatening to come
back
in.
They're going to do it.
They were threatening to get back in it. To me, it looked like OG Dogs.
Yep.
The Dogs of a few years ago. Just really working the midfield through the stoppages rather. It was good to see,
even though
it was at Mars Stadium and against the Suns.
Very, very good. Moving right along, whizzing through these, Richmond versus Port Adelaide, the Power getting up by 30 points at the MCG. I missed a bit of this game because I went to go and watch the Eagles game, but I watched the KO Mini. Butters, oh, my God.
Yeah. I watched it and, it was all right. Like, it wasn't very entertaining to me. There wasn't much. There's not much to say about it. Port just... were
the cream rose to the top. Port are a better team.
They just looked like a good football team, not really remarkable like in any particular way. Obviously, Butters was very, very good.
But you're always going to get that out of
Richmond,
Butters.
Richmond was just, not bad either. Just like not very good.
Just overall,
just an average footy game.
Finally, closing out the round, I went to this game, West Coast Eagles versus GWS. GWS getting up by 65 points at Optus Stadium. Yeah. And boy, I got to tell you, this was grim. This was grim to watch.
Any the thoughts? First quarter looked all right.
Yeah, did it?
Yeah, the first quarter, I was like, oh, the Eagles are doing something
here.
They did
a few things, but I could tell halfway through the second quarter, the Eagles looked tired.
Yeah.
I was at the ground after a couple of sprint efforts across the ground, like that passage of play we were talking about, Collingwood versus Saints, where ball is in open play for a little bit and everyone's got a sprint. The difference between the two teams after that and after GWS kicked a goal, I would say there was 10 or 12 Eagles boys on hands and knees,
which is odd because they're
sucking
all,
in the big
they're also
ones.
Young.
Yeah, they're also young and they've had a whole preseason now.
So what's
without
the go there?
A more, you know, Oscar Allen's gone down. Maybe they're going to blame this on this injury crisis. I know they've got all these injury crises. You know, you got to feel for Adam Simpson, even though he might be the problem. Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day, like, you know, how stressful after Allen goes down in training, which has got to be after all this. It's like they've gotten through the preseason. No one's gotten injured again.
That's
we're doing
huge.
Well. Allen out for 8 weeks.
Just ostensibly your best player.
And we were talking about this the other day. Like Adam Simpson is now well and truly interspersed himself into Perth lifestyle. He's bought a couple of Hungry Jack's locations. He's got the South Perth one, which is a good HJ's. I've been there because sometimes I work in that area. And I went in there for a cheeky lunch break, got an ultimate double whopper meal with a few nugs.
I'm a bacon deluxe man.
A bacon deluxe is good, but I need a bit more heart attack in my burger. I need ultimate double. I went in there. Guess who walks in?
Not Adam Simpson.
Adam Simpson walks in to the HJs as I'm sitting there. And I've just got my bloody, I was doing notes for the pod and I've walked in. I'm like, that's fucking Adam Simpson. He's walked in, said g'day to the people at the counter, gotten what I presume is a free bloody Whopper meal or something, sat down and just got his laptop out and started doing some work.
Wow.
And I was like, shit, so like this is great. He's there with the troops the HJs.
You would think if you owned one, you wouldn't really eat it.
I would eat it every day. I owned a HJ's.
You'd get sick of it. I mean,
no, dude. Mate, HJ's is great.
Do you think people that own a fish and chip shop have fish and chips for dinner?
Absolutely, yes. No. This is where you and I differ. My standard of food is so low. If it's greased and fried, I will never get sick of it. Oh, garçon. Oh, please. Oh, delicious. May I have another? But I was thinking the other day, you'd think with how cursed the Eagles have been, that imagine how Adam Simpson being the owner of a HJ's and the manager of a HJ's, imagine he's just rocked up to work and he's got to manage the shift and, you know, there's someone comes up to him, maybe his assistant store manager going, Adam, we're short staff tonight. We're short staff tonight. Something's happened. He's like, what? What the fuck's happened? Where's Jimmy on the fryer? Jimmy's done his ACL. You're joking. Jimmy's done his ACL.
That's a psychotic break.
Get young Matty on the fryer then. What are we doing? Oh, Matt's, he's in concussion protocol, Adam. We can't do it. No, you're joking. You're joking. Can we call Jamie Cripps? To come out? No, I'm sorry. He's done his hammy. For fuck's sake.
The higher ups walk through the door with clipboards, start tapping their pens.
They have a board meeting. Have a board meeting about it. So that's absolutely a true thing that did happen. I did see Adam Simpson
in
a HJ's. Yeah, you love to see it. And the food was fantastic. Staff were very nice.
Listen,
they were all good.
That's all of the games. But I have a comment that spans all of them combined.
Yes.
What the fuck? And I'll preface this.
Yes.
We're a pro umpire podcast.
Oh, for sure.
What is going on this round specifically with the fucking umpiring? It was atrocious.
It's been a bit touch and go. And I'm with you. I hate to complain about
and
umpiring.
Usually it's your standard ones, holding the ball and whatnot, which I will talk about. But all of a sudden it's extended to the fucking boundary umpires.
Yeah.
There was like
some howlers.
There was like a half a dozen that were clearly out of bounds over the course of the weekend. I can't remember a time when the boundary umpires have fucked up this consistently, let alone the field umpires. There was there's a stat here. The top seven teams for tackles this weekend laid 388 tackles combined for 11 holding the ball calls.
That is something. There's treachery.
That is, it's insane. And that was when that stat was accompanied by a video that just showed dropping the ball after dropping the ball after dropping the ball, all non-called.
And I get that holding the ball is one of the hardest rules to adjudicate because
100% it is.
You don't want to over-officiate the game. You want play to be open and, you know, it's you know, there's a lot of grey areas, as they say. Our sport is a bit silly. But it's got to be better than
that. That's a wild shift.
It's got to be better than that. It's a wild shift away from it.
I mean, at what point do you just not even tackle?
Yeah, I know. But it's the woke mob. They're coming after us, Corey. Let's get into MVP voting, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Do you want to read out Travs and Monty's in the chat who send their apologies? They can't be here this week.
I shall.
But they are part of the esteemed panel.
I will go through mine first. Okay.
I will go through mine first. One vote. And I'm back to a vibey one vote this week. Even though I don't think it's 100% vibes, I really loved the game from this kid.
Yep.
Georgie Wardlaw.
Oh.
One vote for the Kangaroos.
Well, he got the Rising Star
nomination. LDU had a great game. Tom Powell had a great game. Their whole midfield was great. But Georgie was doing it all. And yes, I may be a bit biased because my fantasy team name is George Wardlaw and Order SVU.
Yes, which is very good.
But 23 disposals, a huge goal from outside 50, goal assist. He just did everything really well around the ground. He was pressuring, he was chasing, overhead marking, great kick of the football, one percenters. And in that first half blitz, he looked like, okay, this is why he's the number one draft pick. This is why he's looking good. Georgie Wardlaw, one vote. Two
Love
votes.
It.
And I think this is the first time I have given him votes ever.
Okay.
It's Isaac Haney.
I've
relented.
Yes.
He was on my blacklist for a while because I thought he was a bit of a show pony.
You know, he almost made it onto mine.
He's on mine this week because I've neglected him the first two.
Yeah.
But I've got to do it. 32 disposals, a goal, 13 score involvements and 78% disposal efficiency. In a team of elite kicking players like Sydney R., he stands out for his kicking ability. That should say it all.
Yep.
Three votes, the Bont. I mean, it was a Ballarat masterclass. It's just a classic game from the Bont. When it's down and dirty, you know he's going to give you some cleanliness.
There's no one of all the very skilled inside mid players, there's no one that disposes it more effectively than Bont.
Well, whatever the disposal is, whether it's a gritty handball or
a beautiful kick. He just gets it to someone.
He just gets it done.
Yeah.
32 disposals, two goals. In an awful place to play football, he played it well. Four votes. Nasiah Wanganeen-Miller.
The Wang.
We do love a bit of number Wang. A breakout performance in terms of output off of halfback for him. He had a great year last year, but this felt like a bit of a coming out party for the Wang. 32 disposals, 5 score involvements, 8 intercept possessions as well.
Beautiful.
Best for the Saints. And 5 votes. Tommy Stewart. Honourable mention. I wanted to throw Sam Taylor in here for a vote, but, you know, it was against the Eagles. How hard could it be?
Yep.
Loose defender masterclass from Tom Stewart. 28 disposals, 89% efficiency, and equaling the record for intercept marks with 10 and 7 score involvements.
I've got an interesting stat for that record. I'll save it for next
week. We'll come
week
back to that.
You have to dig it up.
Because someone might also equal it next week because it seems to happen every other fucking week. Someone gets 10. Who were yours, Corey?
I'll go with Monty's first. Monty's gone from 1 through to 5. Tom Powell, Tom Stewart, Luke Jackson, Isaac Heaney, and the Wang for 5.
Oh, the Wang for 5. Okay,
and
so relatively similar ones on the count, but a few different ones as well.
Travis, 1 through 5. Briggs.
Oh, Briggsy,
Luke Jackson.
I don't know about Briggsy getting a vote. It's against Bailey Williams he was rucking, you know. I could get you 100
fantasy
points.
Luke Jackson, which I think is a bit shafted.
I didn't give him any.
The Wang for 3, Heaney for 4, and Bont for 5.
Yeah.
So I've gone for one vote, bit of vibes, but he did put up a pretty good performance. Todd Marshall from Port Adelaide.
Oh, the
four
Marsh.
Goals. He's got a funny head.
He does. He's a very skinny boy.
He's very skinny, very funny head. Which I liked a lot.
I'm trying to think of who he reminds me of. He's a bit of a stretched out Benedict Cumberbatch, isn't he? If Benedict Cumberbatch was stretched like an elastic band man, that's Todd Marshall. We'll pull that up next week and we'll get a side-by-side comparison.
Well, that's he's got one. I can't get the image out of my head. Two votes for Zach Butters.
Yes. I was stiff not to give him any. Yeah.
3 votes for Errol Goulden. 4 votes for the Wang.
Ooh,
and 5 votes for Luke
Jackson.
I'm shocked. I'm now, absolutely
you're gonna,
shocked.
You're going to say that I've got Jackson bias, but this is one of the all-time great all-around performances by what is, I mean, he was ostensibly a ruckman.
He won the
game
for them. He did.
He got 2 goals, 24 disposals, 7 clearances and 5 tackles.
So massive. As well as whatever hit out count
Sarong,
he had as well.
Caleb Sarong got 35 disposals and laid 5 tackles. With no goals. So you tell me which one of those two players is more influential in the game.
Yeah, when Luke Jackson's at a contest, it's quite freakish. He reminds me of Nick Nat. He reminds me a lot of Nick Nat in that
he's a more skillful Nick Nat is what he is.
Yeah, like Nick Nat was perhaps a bit more big feeling. Yes. Yeah. Like if that makes sense, I don't know what their measurements are, but Nick Nat just felt to have a bit more.
He did,
like, oh my God, this guy is so huge. Whereas Jackson is a bit more, I'll say a bit cleaner. A bit more cleaner with his skills, but still a hybrid athletic ruckman doing great.
He's a game breaker.
So I don't know. I'm not asking you to give me the tally now, but who do we think's leading the tally
probably
at the moment?
Matt Rouse still.
Matt Rouse still.
Yeah.
I reckon Bont and Wang have been put up there now with this. I reckon Butters would be up there as well. But maybe we'll get a little round 4 tune in next week on the tally. And we'll see the Excel spreadsheet.
Before we move on to the next segment, there's one here that I think you might find a bit interesting for some perhaps future speculation. They've released the full list of 2024 free agents. There's 9 of them. Jared Berry from Brisbane.
Okay.
Hugh McLuggage from Brisbane.
Huge. Hugh McLuggage is big.
Yeah, that's a big one for the Pies,
Think. Well, perhaps.
Andrew McGrath, Essendon.
Yep.
Danger will stay, he will not go anywhere. Ben Ainsworth from the Gold Coast.
Underrated player.
Yeah, very underrated. Blake Hardwick from Hawthorn. Zerha from North Melbourne.
Zerha's a big one.
They got to work
Zerha's
to keep
a
him.
Zerha's a big
you
one. You got to give him a bit of
Will
cash.
Will Hayward from Sydney. And the biggest one, you would think, Tim English from the Western Bulldogs.
Eagles need to throw a blank check at Tim English.
Yes,
they
will.
Absolutely need to.
Yes. And people are saying that they will absolutely do that. The only thing is his wife/... longtime partner has just signed a contract to play netball in Melbourne, which is no good for the Eagles.
Well, come to the Pies. I'm trying to think of a Melbourne-based team that might need a ruckman. Honestly, Carlton could really use a Tim English because I don't think De Koning is a good long-term investment for rucks.
No.
That's a good little list there. I like it.
I like that one a lot. Yeah. And before one last one. Craig McRae has been hit with Caro's arrow.
Shoot that poison arrow through my heart.
Now, I usually every week it pops up on my YouTube algorithm, Caro's arrow. And I hate watching
it. It's a good couple of minutes.
It's usually quite funny. So every so often she'll have a good point, old Caro.
Yeah, she will.
The old fucking leather bag. The old lady. But this,
we respect women on this podcast. We do.
This week was a doozy. Yeah. She's going after McRae for not being for not giving St Kilda credit in the post match presser in their loss.
And I not to sound like a Pies biased man, which I am, but this didn't feel like at all on the money from Caro because Craig McRae, and I'm not just saying this because we are close personal friends, and he emailed me about the Scott Pendlebury song. Is from all accounts,
literally all accounts,
like a darling to deal with.
Yes.
Everyone who meets him in any capacity professionally is like, wow, that was a really nice
man.
Nice
guy.
He made the time to introduce himself and like ask if I needed anything. He's just a sweetheart to everybody.
So she's going on for 5.5 minutes about how he's self-centered and instilling a me attitude that's permeating the football club.
Not worth an arrow at all, Caro.
That's not worth an arrow. A misguided arrow that's missed the target. And a journo has quite cheekily brought this up with McRae after the weekend. And I've got the clip here. I'll see if this plays.
Similar vein last night, Caroline Wilson. She spoke about your.
You watch a lot of footage shows, don't you?
This is very funny.
She spoke about your post-match presser after the game.
Was it good or bad? I don't know.
She said you didn't speak much. You didn't give much credit to the opposition.
Oh, that's well. Can I do that now then? Because
what a nice guy.
Yeah, Carolyn, I apologise because that's something I really want to do.
He's apologised for it. Craig, you don't need to. You're such a sweetheart. He's such a sweetheart.
It's a good observation.
Yep, it's a good observation. That is
no, it isn't.
High road. Literally, like, just He's bulletproof, this man. Like, it's like, even though this is a grubby take from a journalist, it's just like, yep, they're absolutely right. You know I should have been. I should have been better.
Be more humble and gracious.
What a fucking You're king! Right. What a fucking king! This is why I'm like, we're 0-3. I don't care. Like, I don't care.
That clip completely backs up everything that you just said.
Yeah, he's just a lovely man. He's a lovely man. Like, it's what every coach should be like. Gone are the days of sprays. Just be friendly and nice and be a man. You're in a workplace. You should be a friendly man. Anyway, let's get into the flagship segment of the Barely Touched Him podcast. It's Adopt Your Boy, 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 Boy. We're looking for adoption. All right, Corey.
It's a very exciting week for the boys.
Last time we checked in with your first adopted boy of the year, we had to take him out the back and shoot him because he
Josh
broke his
Gota,
leg.
Josh Gota, rest in peace. He has passed away, I think.
I feel like we needed to do perhaps, and now I'm only just thinking of this sound effect possibility now. No, like a eulogy where we play like, where did I go wrong? I lost a friend.
Well, I've got
and then
Candle
you're
in the Wind,
about...
but I don't want to get copyright struck.
No, it's all right. It's okay. Just pretend that How to Save a Life by the Fray is playing while we talk about how much we love Joshy Gota.
Josh Gota.
You are now adopting another boy
my
for the
second
season.
Boy. My second boy.
You've gone
boy.
Back to the orphanage.
I have. Now, I did have a little short list of boys that I was looking at before the season started.
Yes.
And I went with Gota. So I thought it would be easy, just go to number two on the list.
Yes.
But then the weekend of football happened.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there was a certain boy that as soon as I saw him on the screen, I knew. He had an aura and the way he was
Much
playing.
Much like Dan Schneider watching a Nickelodeon sitcom.
Oh, good God.
I looked at the screen and I knew.
Good God.
Who's your boy?
Disgusting.
Very disgusting. Very disgusting.
My
yes.
boy. He plays for the Western Bulldogs.
Oh, the doggies.
He was not born in Australia. He was born in the country of Sudan.
Yes, yes, I think I know.
He came here in the year 2006.
Yep.
His name is Buku Kamis.
Buku! Yes, he had a blinder on the weekend.
He had a blinder. He had 10 disposals and a goal. He's a defender.
Yep.
He's played 12 games over the past 3 years for the Dogs. Fantastic young boy.
Yep.
He's 23 years old.
Rangy. I thought he was shorter than he was before.
He's huge.
Before the Dogs started playing him as a key back now because they are lacking a genuine key back.
He weighs 87 kilos.
Yeah, that's not a lot of kilos, to be fair, for a key defender.
Wow.
For a key defender. Well, how tall is he? He's like 6'4"?
For a big, tall, slenderish guy, that's a lot.
I get it. Yes, no, he's a very good boy pick. We love you, Buku.
So we'll keep an eye on him. He had a blinder against the Gold Coast.
And shout out to all the people of Sudan. We love Sudan.
Both. Is it north and south or east and west?
No, north and south Sudan.
Yeah, one of them's
yes.
bad though. I think south is bad.
Well, bad is a matter of speaking. You know, is any of Africa really bad or is it just colonized and oppressed?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that. So now I will check in on my adopted boy after we welcome Buku to the family, the extended family of boys.
I will
boys.
Get a photo of Buku this week.
Welcome to the crime friends. Family. But my boy.
Welcome to the family.
But welcome to the family. My boy this week, Jai Menzi, in Essington's loss to the Sydney Swans. He didn't have a great week. He's ended up, Jai, playing in the forward pocket, 6 disposals, 3 tackles. And a score involvement.
Okay.
No goals. He kicked it behind, though.
Oh,
he kicked it behind.
That's disappointing.
So it's not a great showing, but it's okay,
he
son.
He did something.
You did your best.
He didn't get dropped.
You did your best. We're in the car on the way home. Yes, you didn't. You didn't get the Macca's certificate for playing well. You know, we don't get a free cheeseburger meal, but you played your role. You're playing a hard position being a small forward.
Yes.
It's very hard to find the footy. So, you know, hopefully he stays in the team. You'd be if he gets dropped, I'll be quite stiff.
All right, look, it's like you said, it's a hard position, especially against Sydney.
Very much so.
I would think that's not enough to be dropped. And what's their forward stocks even like, Essendon?
Well, Guelphy's injured as well, so like it's going to be tough. I don't know anyone that they could really bring in straight up because VFL's not in session yet either, so it's hard to really make changes and look at the twos. VFL started. Sandville hasn't started yet, which brings me to my boy. Other boy, Paddy Parnell. No Sandville footy, but he was listed as an emergency for the Crom. So he's on the outer. He's the second that maybe like say McElhaney goes down or a Mitch Hinge goes down, Paddy Parnell's going to swoop in into that
quick,
halfback.
Quick check-in with Sammy Flanders. Killed it.
Of course, he had about
28 disposals and a goal.
And check-in with Monty's boy, Tom Powell. He's fast becoming a man.
Yes, he is.
After that breakout performance on the weekend, I don't think he's going to be a boy much longer. Yeah. He's starting to sprout some hairs in certain places and mature.
In fact, Tom Powell is attracting some attention in our fantasy league. I believe Packer
hot property.
Has it. Oh, Harry or Packer has him.
People want him. You've got your eye on him. Let's go into the other sporting news, Corey. Have you got any hot doozies
start
for us?
Start with the Brum Brum race cars that
Formula
happened.
Formula One.
Formula One. And, oh, the smooth.
Something happened.
The smooth operator. Carlos Sainz.
Oh, we love him. We love our boy Carlos.
Oh, we do love
him. He's won the Melbourne Grand Prix.
He has won the Australian Grand Prix.
He has beaten Max Verstappen. Oh, I was watching this live, and Nadia was watching it with me, and I'm going, babe.
I've never seen because I have on a second screen the Reddit live threads open for F1 races.
Yes.
I pretty much do the same for AFL games as well, but more consistently with F1. I have never seen a live thread pop off for an F1 race the way that this one did when Max Verstappen went down.
It was lap two or three, wasn't it? And Max's car, his rear back tyre,
For about half a lap, he was bizarrely slowing down a little bit. And the commentators were like, I'm slipping, I'm losing the back.
Like
all
I'm
of
losing
a sudden,
the car.
Smoke starts coming out of his back right tyre. He's like, oh no, oh, I've lost it. He slows down to a near stop.
Guys, I'm on fire. Gus, I'm on fire. There's fire in the car.
The smoke gets worse. He manages to take it to all the way to the pit, at which point fire breaks out.
Yeah.
The brake disc literally catches fire. Hectic scenes. But the funniest part about it was Max Verstappen gets out of the car like he was not fazed at all.
Yep.
He just got out, strolled away. 5 minutes later, he was in his civilian clothes, just walking away with his daughter, like waving, like, yeah,
yep.
Whatever.
He's operating at perhaps the most efficient level of Asperger's that I've ever seen an athlete operate at.
No doubt.
Him and Leo Messi, they are like the peak kings that we've got in the sport. And yes, I am diagnosing them without consent, but it's just the vibes,
A few other big ones went out. George Russell had one of the scarier crashes that I've seen.
That was pretty gnarly.
There's a new safety feature in the F1 cars where if the swing arms and suspension and drive shafts and everything completely snap in a crash, the wheels no longer cascade down the track. They're tethered to the car by a kind of strap. So George lost all four of his wheels in a bit of a spin out.
Oh, good God.
But they were still stuck to the car, but just flopping around. So what that caused was one of them to get kind of half stuck under his car, and he was left up on a 45-degree angle with his ass facing down the track, that being other cars coming right at him. And he shit himself.
Yeah, as you would.
He was on the team radio calling for a black flag immediately, like, because he thought a car was going to barrel into him at 150 k's an hour, and he would have died if that happened. Also, Lewis Hamilton. That was on the last lap.
Lewis going down as well.
Lewis Hamilton went down in the middle of the race. Problems at Mercedes.
Oh God,
the silver arrows.
Toto on suicide watch.
Oh my God,
it's fantastic.
This win for Carlos, very interesting. He doesn't have a job for next year.
Yep. Well, you'd be thinking that perhaps, is Red Bull going to go?
It'll either be Mercedes or Red Bull. Can they get rid of Checo and get him in next to Max Verstappen? It would be the dream pairing.
But, like, does Carlos want to be number two to Max?
He's number two to Charles right now.
He should be number one for Mercedes. Yeah. That's what I reckon. Like, Carlos is good enough to be – he's just the best. He's my favourite driver since I've gotten into the sport. Fucking love this guy.
Also, mad props to both Carlos and I think it was
– Pierre Gasly, you were saying?
Pierre Gasly, both of whom had their missus's girlfriends shown on the telecast, both – absolute smoke shows.
But of course.
Incredible.
They're professional racing car drivers.
These are the type of women, they don't even look real. They look AI generated. It's crazy. So you go to the pub and you're like, oh, that chick's the hottest chick I've ever seen. And then you've got these ones, which are like four steps above that.
Yeah, it's almost off-putting.
Like,
it's
like the Carl Barron bit. Like, you ever see someone so hot it makes you mad?
Very much. I've got one for other sporting news. We're gonna go to a different Tasmanian franchise, being the Jack Jumpers.
I have got a clip
have
of this.
Have you got this clip?
It because is
this
insane.
Shot from McVeigh.
Jack McVeigh.
Jack McVeigh. Play this shot again. Full screen it. This is like one of the most awesome things I've seen in the NBL. The pass, the inbounds pass, jumping to keep the ball in, pulls up from the logo.
Bang.
Bosch. Oh, my God. That is unreal. That is unreal.
The guy under the net can't believe it.
Yeah. And that's to tie the grand final series and take it to a game three.
No, that's to put them 2-1.
2-1 up, sorry.
Yeah, 2-1 up. That is an insane shot.
Unbelievable.
Forget the Tassie Devils. It's all about
the
Jack Jumpers.
It's all about the Jack Jumpers. Yeah.
I had to do some research last year when I first became aware that the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers are even a team.
Yes.
I was quite confused as to what the fuck is a Jack Jumper.
It's a kangaroo.
No. It's an ant.
Get fucked.
It's an ant.
What kind of ant jumps?
A Jack Jumper.
Wow.
It's an ant that's endemic to Tasmania, I believe.
Oh, can they kill you? Can they hurt you, a Jack Jumper?
I suppose if you got heaps of them.
Mm.
I don't think one can.
Yeah,
one would just be annoying.
Well, I was thinking maybe like a fire ant sort of scenario. Well, you know, if you get bitten by an ant. If you get bitten by an ant, is it going to give you a bit of how you're going? You know, it's tough to say. I've got some other news that's not sporting news, but it's been a massive story. I don't know if you've been following one Mr. Puff Daddy, Diddy. So he's escaped the country.
In his private jet.
In his private jet. He's gone to Costa Verde or Copa Verde or whatever the fuck
they
it's
don't
called.
Have extradition
that
laws.
Doesn't have an extradition treaty. So if you're not in the loop on this, ladies and gentlemen, P. Diddy is, as he's now called, used to be called Puff Daddy, Puffy, Sean Combs, was a very successful producer and rapper from the 90s. He produced all of Biggie's songs, and then he had a successful career of his own as well. He has now been exposed as being a serial abuser, of men and women. And the men one is like
wild.
A crazy one because the name's implicated as having homosexual, perhaps non-consensual relationships with P. Diddy. One, Usher, who just performed at the Super Bowl, was apparently groomed by Diddy to do sexual favors for him. Another one, a name that I've been thrown around. I don't know if you heard about this, Corey. One, the Biebs. Justin Bieber. There is footage of Justin Bieber and Diddy together when Justin is first like coming into the industry as a child, and Diddy's like they're filming a thing at like Diddy's house, and it's like, yeah, we've been hanging out together all weekend, man. We've been getting up to some crazy stuff. We can't even talk about it. It's so crazy. And Justin's there looking like,
It's
crazy,
now,
dude.
I've seen some of the official law documents of this. It's like 170 pages long.
Because he's also abused a lot of women as well. Yes.
I've seen some of it, and it is insane.
Like
he would
kidnapping,
he'll do eight at a time. Yep. He would get his security guard or driver to go to a local strip club, and he wouldn't have to say anything. They had a system. If he was wearing a certain hat and he walked into the strip club, all the girls would know, oh, it's time to go to Diddy's house. And like eight of them would go there, and they would have some champagne. And some of them would be like, no, I don't want any. Like, no, like, have some. And they'd be like, oh, okay.
Oh.
All of a sudden they wake up the next day.
Oh, great. Yeah, like, okay, oh, yeah. So fuck. Drugging women, yeah. Oh. So now he's gotten on this is obviously all coming out that he's probably going to go to jail for this. He has fled on his private jet.
Which innocent people always do.
That's true. You know, you flee on the private jet. Yeah. Maybe he'll go to some island with a temple on it, perhaps. I hear it's free and it's not being used anymore and you can't, and that's in international waters or whatever the fuck. Anyway, I feel like we should perhaps whiz through a couple more and then we'll go mailbag.
Shohei Ohtani, the biggest sports star possibly in the world at the moment, has been
implicated
in a massive betting scandal.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this, yes.
Now, this is a bizarre one because it's his interpreter that has apparently stolen $4 million to pay off gambling debts. Now, this is a developing story. And it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how much the league protects Ohtani from this, or how deep they want to go into it to keep their man, because he is making them insane amounts of money.
Yes.
So, yeah, the the interpreter broke the story. Well, ESPN broke the story with the interpreter, which was apparently a tell-all, where he said that, Ohtani knowingly gave him the money to pay off these debts because he asked him to, and then later that day recounted the whole thing and said, oh, no, I stole it. So it's what do you believe here? I don't know.
I also love the idea that that I'm pretty sure Ohtani's getting better English as well, that he's been in the American League. He probably doesn't really need an interpreter anymore, I don't think.
Very bizarre stuff.
And I love the idea of this guy just, you know, translating in really broken Japanese. Like, I've just concocted this idea that this guy's a shit interpreter. Like the guy who got done for doing fake sign language at those events, and he's just become like, oh, he's a happy. Like, Mr. Ohtani is a happy.
Well, keep an eye on this one because it's that one's going to get bigger as well. Yes. The last one from me, Tim Zhu's got to fight this Sunday against possibly Victor Wembanyama.
Is it Peter Street?
His name is Sebastian Fundora. Now, he was supposed to be fighting Keith Thurman, but Thurman's torn his bicep.
Of course.
With 12 days notice from the fight, Sebastian Fundora has stepped
Where's Fundora
in.
From?
America.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah,
I think by America, it's like Costa Rica.
Sure.
Or something.
Sure, yeah.
But he's 6 foot six. He is an absolute giant.
What weight class is Zhu?
Super welterweight.
So what's that weight? Like,
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I know. There's many subdivisions in boxing.
They're all within so close to each other, and they all go up and down. But I can tell you that if he does win this fight, which he's very confident in doing, he will automatically have a shot with Terrence Bud Crawford, who is the champion. And then if he wins that, he'll be right into Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's massive. That is huge.
Canelo is one weight up, which sounds like a lot.
But not that much.
It's like 4.5 kilos or something.
That's fine. You can put that on in a day.
So
that's awesome.
The fight this Sunday.
Let's get around him. Get around him.
Massive.
All right, let's throw into the mailbag. So we've had a few questions from viewers this week, and thank you. I barely touched him on Instagram. We always chuck him up there. Super Dragon says, thoughts on Carey throwing his toys out the pram with the he says Max King suspension, but I think he meant to type. Peter Wright.
Yeah.
We have given the thoughts on that. It's very funny that that Wayne Carey is going to take a stand on anything because he's glassed a woman.
He's glassed a woman, destroyed multiple of his best friend's lives.
Yep. Slept with his best mate's missus.
Yeah.
Domestically
abused two partners. Yep. Glassed a woman.
Assaulted a female police officer. it's
insane.
So, in short, no real thoughts. It's absolutely on brand for him. He is a bit of a pest. Next up, we've got memes about Crom. Let Monty know that Tom Powell has officially retired from Boyhood.
Yeah.
So honestly, fair call memes about Crom. Very, very fair call. We're going to have to perhaps get Monty onto another boy mid-season because he's become a man so quickly.
He's
had a huge growth spurt. O'Rangle says, who are you backing? Two first names versus two surnames AFL clash.
So, what's an example of two surnames? Oh, probably Grian Myers.
Grian Myers is two surnames for sure. I'm trying to think of two other surnames. Machito Owens, that's two first names.
That's two surnames.
We have to do up a team. We'll have to do up some teams. That's a really good one. I'll have to do that.
I'm taking two first names.
I'm taking two first names as well. They've got Jeremy Cameron. Jeremy Cameron. Oh. Bushchuk Bandit says, if Collingwood pull the upset on Brisbane, how come Saints still won't make finals? That's very good. Van the Man, O2 says, I officially select Toby Pink as my boy for the year.
Toby Pink?
Toby Pink, very good for North Melbourne. He's a big ginger.
I think there was a great great bit where there was, I can't remember who they were playing, but there was someone with the surname Brown. It was Pink v. Brown.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Pink v. Brown is always good.
Would it have been
Pink's a great boy pick. One, he has a silly name.
Love it.
Two, he's a ginger.
Even better.
Three, he plays for North Melbourne.
Is he ugly? Like, goes with the ginger thing, doesn't
he's
it?
He's a ginger. I mean, of course he is. But yes, absolutely great pick for Boy. Ben Cutter, 23, says, what is the best line of commentary ever? The best line of AFL commentary ever.
I mean, the one that gets thrown around a lot is snuck up on him like a librarian.
Yeah, he never heard him. Yeah, that's Dennis could have so many.
Dennis has got a lot.
I'm a big fan of less is more. Like, even though Dennis Cometti's got so many puns, I love, this is not a Dennis Cometti call, but obviously one last roll of the dice for the Eagles. Leo Barry, you start as he's taken that mark.
That is very good.
That is an all-timer.
That's iconic. But also the, I like the... who could have guessed that the sequel was better than the original?
Oh,
that's
yes,
a good one.
That is very good. I love, there's so many Rex Hunt bits of commentary. Rexy is so good. I
mean, not strictly a piece of commentary, but when he's trying to fight the guys.
Yeah, fight the smokers is very good.
Fight the Indian dudes. and Rex, come on. They're literally holding him back.
My favorite Rex Hunt one is, I have like 50 favorite Rex Hunt bits, but my favorite one is in the 07. Grand final where Geelong smash Port and Rex Hunt, when the game's over, he'll make the fat lady sing and he'll go, oh, when he'll call it, the game's over, the fat lady sung, you can't win it. He brings the fat lady in the second quarter because Geelong are up by like 60, 70 odd points. And someone's got, I think Mooney or Paul Chapman's gone to kick a goal or something to bring it into 70 points or something. And they've all gone. He goes, if they kick this, the fat lady may as well walk in the door now. And then it's silence. They let the kick happen. And it's goal, crowd goes wild, silence. And they go, bring her in, Rex. And he just goes, oh! And it's the most perfect bit of comedy commentary. Absolutely love it. And one more Bruce McAvaney line, because my favourite Bruce McAvaney lines are very homoerotic.
Yeah.
It's a piece of Hawthorne play where, now this will be really interesting. He can caress it down someone's throat.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is.
I love that.
Platinum gay call from our boy Bruce.
Also, there was a period of time in the last couple of years, it seems to have died off, where a lot of commentators were overusing the word squirt. It squirted out of the contest. Every time it got a chuckle out of me, I'm like, what is going on? And it seems to have faded away.
That is, I don't remember the squirt explosion. Yeah,
it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago. A lot of squirting going on.
That is a lot of squirting. And also on commentary, just a little plug, we'll be commentating Waffle Colts this Saturday.
Yes.
Haven't locked in which game it is 100% yet, but stay tuned on my socials. I'll be posting links to it and stuff like that.
Beautiful.
And one more question on the old mailbag, and this is an interesting one. What is the most useless household appliance you own? And sorry, I haven't got the name of the question here because I just took a screenshot. Most useless household appliance you own.
Well, I do have a slap chop.
Oh, do you use it?
No.
Then that is right up there.
It's not a genuine slap chop either.
You got a knockoff slap chop.
It's a knockoff slap chop.
That is sad. That is very, very sad. I don't think I own many useless household appliances because Nadia gets them all and they're all very efficient.
They're good.
Like, yeah, she knows what she's doing. I'm trying to think of one we have that's a bit shit. We don't actually use our blender that much, it's just it's not really our bag.
My partner got a Nutribullet recently. When we're in the
shop, I was going to say it's not the blender's fault. That's just we're not making blender stuff.
We're looking at a lot of different things: fridges, washers, everything. We're getting everything all at once. She added the Nutribullet in, and I was looking at them. I was like, "So, what, it's just a blender?" She's like, "Oh no, this is not a blender. This is a Nutribullet."
Oh.
And I was looking at it, taking it apart, and like,
"It's just a blender." Dull. Love.
Pretty sure this is a fucking blender.
You've been had. Look, you've been had.
There's blenders here for half the price that look better. No, it's not a Nutribullet. Not a Nutribullet, mate. Rightio.
Yeah, no, it's not the same. It's not the same.
It's a bit of a cult.
Should we blaze through the tips?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I forgot about the tips.
I'm going in dry for this one.
Yep.
Let's go through. We'll finish off with our tips and predictions for the upcoming round the third. Thursday, 28th of March, Lions versus the Pies. I'm tipping the Pies by a point.
Oh, I've been thinking about this for the last 2 days. Do I tip the Lions?
I tipped against the Pies last week and I got it right.
I feel like if I tip against them, then they'll win.
Yeah.
And I want them to win.
Yeah.
I could sacrifice my tip.
But yeah, what are you going to do?
I'm going to take the Lions.
He's taking the Lions. So by
then,
how much? By
then
how much?
When the Pies win, I can take credit for
That's
it.
That's true.
Lions by 13 points.
13 lucky, points. Lucky we'll give 13. A BOG for each game as well. BOG for this one, I'm going Pies. And I'm going to go with Dugowie. I think Dugowie's going to come back with a vengeance. I think he's going to come
That'd
back.
That'd be good for my fantasy
he
team.
He plays well against the Lions. He tends to. I mean, his game in the grand final was
I'm
going to
take, because I don't really want the Lions to win, Ryan Lester.
Oh, Lester. Oh, the Lester. Mo Lester. Oh, yes, we love him. Next up, we've got North Melbourne up against Carlton at Marvel Stadium on Friday night. North getting a Friday night footy game. Wow. Actually, no. It's a Friday day game.
What? Oh, because it's Easter weekend.
Yeah, it's a good Friday game. Yep. Sorry. Yes, of course. Jesus died. It's Easter weekend. Yes. Good Friday, North Melbourne, Carlton. It's the Good Friday appeal game. Do I tip North?
I want to.
After last week, they were quite impressive, I must say.
Carlton's been looking pretty dangerous.
Carlton off a bye, though. Oh, I feel like North can come out of the gates. I'm tipping North Melbourne.
Take North.
I'm tipping North Melbourne.
That's huge.
And best on ground, one, Georgie Wardlaw. I'm going to take. He's not boy material because he was a number one draft pick.
What is his nickname? Not the Warlock. The Warlord.
The Warlord. Well, I just call him SVU. Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Who are you taking?
I'm going to take Carlton.
Yep, fair enough. Yep, fair.
And I will go... Who will I go? Paddy Cripps.
Yeah, okay. No, fair, very fair. Next up, we've got Fremantle against the Adelaide Crows, 4:30 p.m. Another good Friday game. So this is the Friday night game here. Well, night if you're on the East Coast. But it's a nice twilight slot on a Friday. Freo versus Crom. At Optus, I'm taking the Dockers.
It has to be.
I can't trust the Crom to bring it back and do the road trip against this Freo team right now. Mm. It'd be a and they're only paying $250. Like, I thought they'd be paying more than that after last week. Jesus. I'm taking Freo. Best on ground, Caleb Sarong.
Yeah, it's got to be. Well, I'll take Jackson for this.
Well, that's very fair. That's very on brand for you. Next up, this is a juicy one.
Okay, here we go.
This is a juicy one. Essington versus the Saints.
Wow.
On Saturday, 1:20. It's a Saturday beautiful time slot. Oh, my goodness. 11th versus 9th on the ladder, even though it's early days.
I'm going to take Essington.
I'm going to take Essington as well. But, God, that sounds like it's going to be a banger.
Yeah, I want to watch that one.
And are you noticing this? Essington games are now must-see football. You got to give them all the good time slots, Andrew Dillon.
Only because we're intrigued to see if they'll fuck it up.
No, I'm 100% on the Essendon. I'm going to get a jersey. I'm going to get an Essendon jersey. And when they come to Perth, I'm going to wear it to the game.
Yeah, good.
I'm going to do this best on ground. I'm going to go the Red Dog, Mason Redmond, coming back from a suspension.
Love that.
Touches off a halfback. He might kick a goal. He's dangerous for that.
I'm
he does
take
like.
The stringer.
Yeah. Oh, the string. He had an off week. He did some good things late, but had a very quiet first half against Sydney. Next up, we've got Port Adelaide up against the D's. Another humdinger at the Adelaide Oval.
It's at Adelaide Oval.
Adelaide Oval. I'm going to go the D's. Yeah. I think they're in red hot form.
I think Port can make it close. Maybe if not for the whole game, but I think it will be a tie contest.
I think... defensively, Melbourne are just so good right now. They're the best back line in the comp. They're the
no
best.
No Lever?
It's no Lever or May. Actually, I completely forgot about this till now that both Lever and May were injured. I'm switching to Port. Forget what I said, listeners. Don't listen to me. I'm going to tip Port. No Lever or May is huge. Who are you going to have back there, Petty? What are you going to do? You're going to throw Van Ruyen back there? It's a mess.
They'll be free-falling.
Next up, the Doggies.
No, you missed that reference, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Free-falling Tom Petty.
Ow.
rest in peace to the king.
Is he dead?
Yeah, Tom Petty died years ago.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, no, he's, dragging my heart around. Bad reference. Western Bulldogs hosting the Eagles at Marvel. Dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's
I mean,
dogs.
You're going to go the Dogs.
That's
they're getting dogs. A pretty easy draw here, aren't they? You've got to say. Next up, best on ground. Bont, I mean, of course.
It'll be Bont.
Next up, Richmond versus Sydney at the MCG. Well, I'm taking the Swans.
That's
best on ground, Errol Goulden.
Yep.
I mean, what do you want from me? you want a hot take, it's not going to be a hot take. It's
we're not just, a hot take
we're
podcast.
We're not a hot take podcast unless we're talking about concussions. next up, closing out the round, we've got the Hawks up against the Cats, the age-old rivalry. Kennett's curse no longer. I'm taking the Cats.
Kennett's curse no longer.
And best on ground. Let's go Blitzarves.
It's a very front-loaded weekend.
Let's go Blitzarves.
It?
It's very front-loaded.
Very
yeah, there's a
front-loaded.
There's a few dodgy matinees towards the end, isn't there?
Yeah, Sunday, Monday. So is Geelong Hawthorn on Monday?
It's on the Monday, yeah. Yeah 12:20. Like yeah.
Sunday, Monday, if you're out doing something else.
Just stay there. Yeah, just don't worry about it. Go play golf. Yeah, don't worry about it. I think that'll do us. We've got an even hour and a half there. That's pretty good. Have a lovely week and enjoy the football, ladies and gentlemen.